chapter 17, starting with verse 11.
Lord, to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And this is the gospel of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Because the last names are not in Spanish nor in English. They're in
attention when we read or when we hear the scriptures, because the authors say one or a few words that make us question some things. While we're hearing the story of these 10 lepers, Jesus doesn't ask only, you know, why you were the only one that came back. Well, no. The author made clear that this person that came back was a what? A foreigner. Someone, yes, it was a Samaritan, but Jesus says, a foreigner comes back. Well, we need to know why they were considered foreigners. Because if you see geography of that time, you would say, well, they're not really foreigners. They're there. Well, you know about the 12 tribes, right? It all began there. It all began there. With the rising of the 12 tribes that came from Jacob, once they started establishing themselves on the map, the northern kingdom, there was a northern kingdom, and this is not Game of Thrones. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, okay? And the northern kingdom was formed of the northern tribes, and obviously the southern kingdom was formed of southern tribes. The northern kingdom was rival with the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was also called the kingdom of Israel. And the southern kingdom was called the kingdom of Judah. That rivalry also started with siblings, but that's another story. The region of Samaria, now comes the region of Samaria, along with Galilee, to the north, were once part of, obviously, the northern kingdom, which is the kingdom of Israel. But once they were separated from the Judah kingdom. Okay, so they were once part of the southern kingdom and then joined the northern kingdom in a way of speaking. Okay? Now you see a little bit of friction there. Well, let's keep going. That happened in the 10th century before Christ. The 10th century before Christ. We're talking about how many years? 1,000 years before Jesus. And we're still talking about the Jewish and the Palestinians. This was almost the same thing. So, 2 centuries later, these northern tribes were conquered by the Assyrians. Back then, there were few empires battling over land, because that would make you the most powerful. Okay? So the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, they were all, you know, fighting for land. So there were many wars. That's why when you read the story about David, there are so many wars going on. And in the Old Testament, you read about so many wars. Well, that tells you something. Well, 2 centuries later, the northern tribes were conquered by the Assyrians by the means of exile. So back then, when you wanted to conquer a land, you would come with your troops. And in order to really conquer, you would have to trade people, in a way of speaking. You would exile important people
be settled in the conquered land. Why do you think that happened? Or that that was something that would happen? Because with the years, you would start mixing both. So the land that was conquered was less powerful and more mixed into what was being into their conquerors' way of thinking and religious practices, etc., even language, culture, and tradition. That still happens now. Okay? That still happens now. That's why when you go to Puerto Rico, everyone knows English. That's why our language, instead of using the word in Spanish for parking, we use parking and not estacionamiento. We don't say hamburguesa, we say burger or hamburger. It's part of the Spanish language right now. That's why some kids in Puerto Rico don't like Spanish music, but they like English music. That's why there are people in Puerto Rico that are Protestants and not Catholics. So you see how this is, you know, how this works? And that was only 100 years. It took only 100 years, less than 100 years. So that's a good tactic in order to conquer someone or a country. Well, that happened with Samaria. With the years, the mixing started. People started marrying. Mesopotamians started marrying Samaritans. And that's why they didn't like the mixing, the mixture, because in that mixture also they acquired religious practices that weren't really Hebrew in a way. Because in the beginning there wasn't Judaism still, okay? That came later. So when they mixed, they weren't Jewish. They were Israelites, okay? And they were conquered. Well, when Judaism established, and these people from Samaria, they were different, but then Galilee joined the Judaism movement or religion, then Samaria was surrounded by these old Jewish traditions and religiousness, and they were like the hybrid, the weird ones, the heretic ones, if you want to call it like that, that were in the middle. And the thing was so strong that if you wanted to go, if you were walking from Galilee and you needed to go past Samaria, what they would do, instead of walking through Samaria, they would walk around Samaria, and they didn't care that the travel would be longer. They didn't care, they just couldn't step on Samaria. To that point. And also the thing got very bad when the kingdom of the north destructed the place of worship of the Samaritans, because the Samaritans didn't acknowledge the temple of Jerusalem as the temple of worship. That was a big thing. And then the kingdom of the south, the kingdom up the north said, well, okay, we'll destroy your temple. That made it worse. Okay, so it's bigger, it's complicated, but in a nutshell, that's what happened. Well, in Jesus' day,
because according to Luke, the Samaritans were also included in Jesus' mission. Also included in Jesus' mission. Jesus came also for the Samaritans. Jesus died also for the Samaritans. Sometimes brothers and sisters are enemies and our persecutors. Sometimes our enemies are our persecutors. That's right. And sometimes we love them, expecting nothing from them. Sometimes. In other cases, our enemies are not really our enemies. They're neighbors. They're neighbors from whom we can learn and with whom we may be reconciled. The question then should be, where do we find enemies who are not really enemies? Where do we find enemies that aren't really our enemies? Where? Again, in this story, the unlikely person is the hero or the model to follow. But they're also the enemy. And this is not the only story in the Bible that this happens. Hello, the Good Samaritan. The people we were trained to hate. And this is a reality. Society sadly trains us to hate certain people. And this is in every nation, in every country. We get trained. Call it survival mode. Call it, because when I say things like that, there is a person that I love really a lot that says, well, that's how we survived. I don't have anything to say about that right now. The people we were trained to hate, to assume, weren't good enough. And now we buy their technology and buy their foods and do a mockery of their festivities, wearing sombreros and eating tacos and drinking tequila and call it Cinco de Mayo fiestas. The ones we were trained to assume as ungrateful because we're complaining about the kind treatment, the thrown paper towels in the face, the diligence after Hurricane Maria. Ungrateful. And not one thing. Now, in the story, the unlikely, becomes the model. Those who were on the outside because God has seen the other and the unlikely. God not only has seen the other and the unlikely, God has forbore the other and the unlikely. God leans itself towards the other and the unlikely. Call them whatever you want to call them. He has done it already on the cross. He has done it already on that well when he was talking to the Samaritan woman. He has done it already when he multiplied loaves of bread and fishes. He has done it already when he invited Zacchaeus and told him, I'm going to your house tonight. He has done it already when he heals. He has done it already. God has forbore, has leaned towards the small, and some people don't like hearing that because they have taught us to not look at the small or towards the small, towards the unlikely, towards the other. But funny enough, that's the way God directs his eyes, his view, his mercy. And that, brothers and sisters, is the great news of the gospel today. To that God.